Play fight. What does it mean to play fight? We all know this word. We all connect with it in some way or another. But it doesn't define what we're speaking to today. It sets the definition up nicely. The play aspect, the fight aspect. But what actually is play fight? Matteo's vision is to normalize this concept that he's bringing into people's lives, communities, spaces. It's a beautiful combination of fighting, of play, of mindfulness. It consists of four powerful rituals that ignite transformation and inspire deep connection, respect, and nonviolence. So important. I'm going to say this again, deep connection, respect, and nonviolence. He talks about the aspects, the invitations, the concept, how it came about, and we get down to understand what is play fight. I heard about this and I was fortunate enough to take part in a play fight. And I'm going to speak about the first time this happened and what changed for me and what I was able to access in this space. It's such a beautiful, safe, healing, connected space. Now, we started with lots of different exercises, practices to really connect us into our playful child self. Let go of the boundaries, the masks, and just truly be in the moment in some sort of flow state. We were going through all these practices and Matteo was guiding us through this practice. And there was enough time for two people to enter the space. And the two people were aged 7 and 5, somewhere around there. They were friends. And these two boys, held in a space of 30 people, were able to just lock horns and play, try and pin each other to the ground. And miraculously, nothing really happened that I could talk about other than they were just holding each other, engaging in this battle and this conflict, but in reverence of each other, honoring each other, not trying to hurt, but still competing to try and pin each other. And the tension in the room was incredible. Everyone was moved by this act. And it was so interesting to me because I was going through my own process of when was this ever okay? And what would that have been and looked like for me as a kid to being able to play fight in front of loads of people with a lovely structure and a framework to kind of work with? What would that have been like for me and how would that have helped me? I'm not sure about you, but when I was a kid, my mum or dad, they kind of looked the other way and pretended they didn't see, or they would see me and my brother engage in conflict, which felt so natural to us. It was just something we wanted to do. And they would always break it up. They'd never really allow it. They'd never teach us how to do it responsibly. And it brought so much sadness to me that there was never this space that I could play and fight, and it was allowed. And we were able to share our reflections after these two lads for a couple of minutes were just locked in this engaging fight. And yeah, it brought up so much. As we see in this podcast, the framework that play fight is allows us to really connect and be a part of something in such a sacred way. And that's why I had to get Matteo on to discuss this. He's really a pioneer and he's got a beautiful vision for this empowering, embodied practice. So enjoy the conversation with Matteo. Please subscribe wherever you're listening. Head over to YouTube because this conversation is on there. And the invitation for you listening to this podcast is to really be curious of what play is like for you in your life, whether you have space for it, whether you've forgotten how to play, or whether you have a space where you can be playful, because it's such a powerful aspect of being human. Over to the sponsors. Are you a coffee drinker? I am. I love it. It's one of the best things of my day. I love looking forward to sitting down with that warm brew, and I often use it to dive into some work or facilitate focus or connection with someone I share it with. So surely I should be prioritizing the best kind of coffee. And since I transitioned to Exhale, a lot has changed. All coffee, as we know, is not created equal. It's in fact one of the most sprayed crops in the world and has been renowned to be full of mycotoxins. But as I said, I think we all know that, right? My good friend Alex in 2020 set out to make the world's healthiest coffee without compromising on taste and sustainability. He dived into all the science and actually found that it is such an amazing superfood They prioritize farming, sourcing, roasting. It's organic, it's specialty grade, freshly roasted and ground, lab tested over 9 times, and tested for and free from molds, yeast, heavy metals, packed full of antioxidants and polyphenols, which have been linked to reduce inflammation, heart disease, and boost brain function. If that's not enough to convince you to try XL, let me just add they are B Corp and members of the Soil Association. They have an impressive blog, weekly newsletter that they pack loads of useful health-related tips into. Go check them out. Link is in the description. What are you waiting for? Go, go, go. Use code CGP or click the link in the description for £10 off your first bag on a full flexible subscription. You can cancel any time if you don't notice the difference. 450 bags of coffee, 30 cups for just £8. Beautiful. So the further we get away from nature and what's natural, the more disease, illness that occurs. I'm sure you'd agree. This is no different when thinking about your feet, which we often don't think about. What are we putting our feet into? They are the only thing that's connected to the ground at all times. They affect balance, posture, strength, mobility, all of the above. Now, preventing your risk of injury might be exposing your feet to varieties of different ground, different surfaces. Now, we do this in the gym. We stress our bodies to adapt. It's the same process when you're thinking about your feet. And if you care about your health, you'll definitely try some Wild Soul sandals. Yes, more friends of the podcast, Tom and James, started this company last year. They have handcrafted some of the world's finest sandals, UK produced from animal-friendly materials and shipped in recycled and plastic-free packaging. Now, I could talk about the benefits of footwear all day. These are close to as being barefoot as possible. I don't know anything else I would put on my feet that I would wear to so many different occasions. Wear them in the warmth, in the cold, and it allows your feet to breathe. Like, they are the closest thing you can get to bare feet. Now, of course, you might have heard of Vivo Barefoot, but they're nowhere near being barefoot. These are Wild Soul sandals, and they are the closest thing you can get to being barefoot. When you're not barefoot, wear Wild Soul sandals. They have a zero drop sole that is thin and flexible to allow your feet to truly feel the ground beneath you, like millions of years of evolution wants you to. For form and function, you can actually select the size of the thickness of the sandal on the website. And the biggest functional difference between these and a standard pair of flip-flops, not that they should even be compared, but the adjustable straps hold your feet secure so your toes don't have to constantly grip part of the sole. The wide toe box and lack of constraint allows your feet to expand as much as they need to when you put weight on them. I know Tom hasn't taken his off for the last 2 years. He's never worn anything else. Use code CGP10 at checkout for 10% off. All the links in the description. Go get yourself a pair. It will change your life.
As you said, the word play fight brings these two elements, play and fight. But that is actually the way, the why of it. So if you want to use this frame of why, how, and what, then actually there would be the what. What is we play fight? We engage in a playful way, but also with our full body, we try to pin each other down. This is what we do. How we do it? We do it in a mindful way, in a way that we really try to be connected with ourselves and with the other. So in a way that we do not hurt ourselves, in the way that we are exploring these different qualities of yang, strong determination and power, and yin, gentleness and care for oneself and the other. And this, bringing these two things together is actually harder than one might think, because it's easier to be in the strong energy and just pierce and going for things, but also sometimes forgetting about the soft parts of ourselves. Or sometimes say, okay, now I'm just soft. I want to create human connections. I want to hug somebody, embrace somebody. Yeah, but where's the fire? Where is that capacity to also say, like, yeah, and what I want is that, the clarity. So bringing these two things together is how we try to convey that quality of play fight. Mm-hmm. And the reason to do it is actually to transform. Like, the ultimate reason to play fight is to see which aspects of my life I'm not fulfilled, And how can I bring embodiment, empowerment through embodiment in my life? So it's nice to play fight for the sake of play fighting. But personally, and this is really my purpose, I see a much bigger value when I bring what I learn in my daily life. And then I feel like, wow, that play fight was not just nice, wasn't just like a very beautiful and native and primal way to move my body, but actually gave me a gift that I can bring to my relationship, to my couple relationship, friend relationship with myself. How do I love myself? What are the places where I actually have a hard time to set the boundary? And there in the play fight, I managed to do it. Maybe the facilitator supported me to realize that I tend to wait a lot before saying that something is not okay for me. So what if now in my daily life, I don't wait a lot and I see right away and see how does that affect? But still, not in a way that it becomes like a slap to somebody else, because this is not what we do in play fight. We don't slap at anybody. We are caring, but very clear at the same time.
Yeah.
So as you said, like, it's really hard to convey all of this in a short sentence.
It is. And I'm sure every time you do say it, it's different. It feels very much like a vehicle. It's something you are transported back to yourself, or you're using it as a vehicle to change something or to bring something forward. Yeah,
exactly. It's a catalyst, and it's the most direct catalyst I know, because every conflict that I might have in my head or I might have with somebody else, it's really hard to deal with because it's stuck inside. But in a play fight, I bring it straight there. I it's not about I see it. I am the conflict, and I'm living each nuance of that conflict brings. It brings my tension in my stomach. I bring maybe strength in my upper part of the body, but maybe the lower part of the body is completely dull. All of this I can discover, and each conflict creates a different effect in me. It's not just like I play fight the same way with everybody. Not at all. Like if I decide to play fight with somebody and I notice that someone brings me a quality with maybe is like, imagine like a strong intensity and going for the things. How do I react? How does that affect me? Maybe it affects me in a way that I feel like, oh, I better make myself small, or like, no, now I need to fight back. This is exactly the same way in a real situation. In daily life, this will happen. But instead of staying in the head, I have it in my whole body, embodied the whole time. For 5 minutes, I feel it. And I have somebody, a facilitator, that supports me to observe, hey, where are you looking at? Are you always looking at the ground? Is this what you long for? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't even notice. Yes. And now that you notice it, how does that make you feel? Oh, I realize that I'm sad or I'm afraid. Would you like to try to lift your gaze and look in front of you or look at the direction that you want to go from? Yes, let me try. And after 2 minutes, pause. How is it? Completely different. And you see, like, I didn't tell you what to change in your play fight. I just gave you this little bit of a difference. And that, how cool is that?
Yeah, it's so powerful. It's so powerful. Let's talk about the origins. So when did this first spawn as an idea, or were you inspired by something, or were you noticing what was missing? Because you talk about embodiment, we definitely live, even in our school systems, even in like how children are educated, it's in the head, it's intellectual, it's learning. And that's how we learn largely, is in the mind. So was this part of the evolution of play fight and why you wanted to create such an embodied thing?
Do you want to know the official version or the unofficial one?
Both.
Okay. Okay, so I start with the official. Well, my background, I worked for years, now it's more than 15 years, that I work with groups, with facilitation, with offering safe spaces of transformation. And I used to do it a lot through the emotional perspective. So empowering people to connect their emotions and communicate about their emotions, and also to discover the empowering archetype in each emotion. That was my specializations, emotions and communication. And I was in a training where I was let's say, like keeping my self-training always up. So I was also participating to training. And we were doing some anger work, and it was a very intense work where imagine a line of people, everybody holding a towel, and on the other hand of the towel, there was another person pulling as hard as you could, shouting as hard as you could, and somebody even holding your feet down. So the idea was like feeling restrained so that your anger could really like find a space. Very powerful work. And after, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour of that, it was time for a break. We debriefed a little bit, and then we had a break. And I felt very stiff in my body after all this pulling, always in the same position. I didn't feel really good in my body. Emotionally, it was great. Like, wow, I felt I moved so much. But I felt I was using and maybe even a bit abusing my body in that exercise. So there was a friend of mine also there, and it was like, how do you feel? Ah, like, wow, super tense. And I said, like, let's stretch a bit. Okay, yeah. We tried to shake, but it didn't really benefit us that much. And then out of the blue, I said, like, why don't we wrestle a bit? Why don't we play fight? I think at that time, I didn't even know the existence of the word play fight. So I probably didn't say we play fight. I said, like, let's fight a bit, or let's wrestle in a non-violent way. And he said, okay, that's a weird proposal, but sure, why not? And we started it in a way that the first 30 seconds we felt super awkward because we were not doing any sort of fighting in our adult life. So we were like, how do we do that? But then after this awkward moment, we entered in the flow. And since like we love each other, he's a very dear friend of mine. So we didn't want to hurt each other, and we had fun, and we were rolling on top of each other. It was awesome for about a minute. Because then after, another quality entered in, which was more of a quality of, I would call it show off. I would say I wanted to show him that I could do some moves and I could pin him down, and he wanted to do the same. And in that moment, only afterwards, I realized that I wasn't focused anymore on the care of myself and him, but more on the show of it.
Mm.
On the move, on pinning him down, on surprising him, on attacking from the back, you know, like finding tricky way to actually be a little bit better than him. And what happened is that after a minute, he turned in a way his body and he bumped his pinky on the floor. We were play fighting in the worst floor ever. It was a really hard floor, not the floor where one should play fight. And he bumped his pinky. Nothing bad happened to him, but he hurt himself a bit. So we were like, okay, now we need to stop. And it didn't feel like good in that moment. It actually reminded us all the times where as a kid, you go beyond the limit and then you hurt yourself. And it's like, damn, now we need to stop playing. It was fun, but it was also a little bit too much. But we went too much anyway on, and then, So... there we closed it. We closed the space. We shared a hug, and then we went on, and then the worship started. But that thing, that minute in the middle of the awkwardness and the more showing off, remained in me as like, wow, something beautiful is there. I want to discover more about that quality. So during the next break, I invited another friend to wrestle with me, but a bigger, like a stronger friend of mine. So that I was sure that if I'm not taking care of myself and him, I'd be the one maybe hurting myself. So I really want to take care of my safety. So we started it. Also, this friend is a person that I respect a lot and admire a lot, but I always had a little bit of a hard time to connect verbally. Like whenever we would talk, it felt like the talking was like shallow, sort of on the surface. So I said, maybe in an embodied way, I could actually get to know him a bit better. And we started it. And at the beginning, again, there was a little bit of this awkwardness. But since I already experienced this transition, it took very few seconds to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm flowing. And then I noticed when this more aggressive, more I want to win over you started to enter this quality. And I was like, no, not this time. So I turned. I created a space. I look him in the eyes. And when I was noticing the having the same quality, I was creating a little bit of a distance. So it was instead going very close and wrapping. And so different techniques there, which I wasn't really thinking with my head, but was more trusting that if I had that intention of connecting and keeping each other safe, I would know what to do. And we went on for that, I think around 10 or 15 minutes until we were exhausted. And I remember I was lying on the floor with a short breath, and he was sitting, he was sweating, and he pulled the hand, I actually reached out so that he could pull me up because I wanted to hug him. And he did. And in that moment, we hugged each other, like we held each other's hand in this way, that is the play fight way, naturally. Like this strong right hand that was holding and still keeping strength, even though we didn't need to still like show the strength. But I think our muscles were so used to be used in a strong way that it sounded kind of like the grip was really there, but the left hand was gentle around it. As like, yes, I hold you with strength, but I really care about you with gentleness.
Love that.
And we shared an appreciation for each other. And it was so touching. I still have goosebumps thinking about it. And I really felt like I could see this person, this friend, for the first time in his wholeness, in his depth, without even sharing a word. Until then, the only word that we shared was like, okay, let's start. So that's it. And then 10 minutes of silence. And I was like, wow, I was in awe. I was like, finally, I see you. Finally, I'm really with you. And he appreciated the way, he really noticed the way that when we were going somewhere else, I was bringing back the connection, bringing back the focus on our connection. And after we just gave each other a hug and we were ready to go, and we turned and we noticed that there was a friend of ours sitting maybe 2 meters far, and we didn't notice her for the whole time. And she came close and she said, guys, can I share with you something? And we were like, sure. I would like to share with you, because I saw you from the beginning, how was this experience for me? And we were like, sure. And we sit there with her and she said, well, I saw you from outside of this building. The building had big glasses, so she could see us very well. And she said, I was frozen. I was like, what are these two guys doing? Are they crazy? They are killing each other. Probably something one said, and she started to create stories in the head of like the most dramatic stories that could lead two conscious men in a conscious workshop to beat each other off. And she was like, I need to stop them. And she started to run inside. She opened the door. And when she was maybe at 5 meters from us, she realized that we were smiling. And she was like, completely confused. She just collapsed on a chair that was just there. Mm. And she stayed watching it as for the only direction. And she said, at first she was confused and puzzled. And then she started to understand that what we were doing was a form of togetherness. So she started to get more intrigued. And then she stepped even closer. And when she was maybe at 2 meters or a meter or so, she felt like, no, this is so sacred. I need to give them space, enough space that they feel not anything that would not intrude their space. So she really perceived how pristine was that place. And she felt like every time there was something happening, she had a jolt. And sometimes it was like she wanted to enter to support once, or she felt like, oh, this is very intense. And she remembered one thing that made her almost cry when she saw my head going very fast towards the ground. She was so afraid. She was like, and then she saw this friend of mine, his name is Diogo, he put his hand to protect my head, and my head bumped on his head, not too hard, but that was like what allowed me to actually not hurt myself at all. This little gesture of protection. And a second after, we were immediately in another position going on, and she was like and extremely waves of emotions happening inside of her, and she was like, this was better than watching a movie. But most of all, and this was the most touching part for me, she said, I learned something for myself, because, you know, I have 2 children. She has a boy and a girl. And they do this constantly. But they do it in a way that often lead to her, one of the two crying. And so every time that they do that, I go there and say, stop, you should not do this. And especially I talk to the boy, because your sister will hurt themselves. She's not as big as you, and so on. So she's immediately castrating. And she was like, I stop them. I castrate them immediately when that happened. And now after watching you, I realize that I'm doing the wrong thing. Because it's not about stopping them from doing it. It's about empowering from doing it in a way they don't hurt themselves.
Mm.
And I still have goosebumps right now when I hear my saint saying this. But when she said that, I was like, oh my God, this is so true. And so many times I remember me being stopped in doing things where instead of being stopped, I would have been wishing that somebody would teach me how to do it in a way that it would not cause damaging consequences, but actually empowering consequences.
Yeah. And I think that can only be done by observation, but we don't see adults playing. We don't see it being done in a way that is in connection. So we do it naturally anyway, but without any modeling. So we end up just going too far. And that was always a pattern in my childhood. It would stop when someone got injured. And that was like, okay, we stop now, because it just doesn't feel right to continue. But it could have stopped at any moment before. We just never knew when. And it's not learning how or why we stop at a certain point. Or creating a framework or a structure or understanding each other's kind of limitations. And then before you get hurt, you know, you have like a mutual understanding of what the container is. Yeah, it's beautiful that. I mean, you just touched on one of the most powerful aspects for me of play fight, which is the observer. It's the person on the outside of the circle, very much a big part of it, and just moving and creating stories in your head about what's real, but maybe not, and understanding that we do that from an observational lens. We have these perceptions about the world, and are they real? Yes, but they're not true. So it's like, yeah, understanding how we see things shapes the reality of it. Beautiful, man. So talking about your childhood, was that, what was playing then? Like, did you have siblings that you grew up with? What kind of features did it play in your childhood?
I have a half sister, and she is 12 years older than me. So I remember some time ago, actually, I asked my dad and my mom, do we have pictures when I'm play fighting with Francesca? That's her name. And they said, no, not really. So she was not we were not playing together in that form. We were playing probably different things. And I think the memories that I have about, like, let's say something close to play fighting, used to be with, I had the neighbor of the, how to explain this? So during holidays, I used to visit my grandparents in the countryside, and their neighbor, they had a dog. They, at some point, they bought a puppy, and at the beginning was very small and cute, and then it actually grew very big. And I remember this always when I would arrive, it would be so happy. And unfortunately, they would keep him in a chain practically the whole day. But when I would be there, I would go there and free him, and we would play together. And it was very physical. And the bigger it was getting, the more physical it was. And I remember with him, always a certain moment where he was getting so excited. I remember his tail going crazy, that it would get, I'm not sure how to say it, I wouldn't say aggressive, but he would start to nibble a bit and to push a bit more. And I would feel afraid that after it would get too much for me. So that moment, I would usually call the neighbor like, hey, I need you to lock him again, because, oh yes, he's scared. So that was one experience that I have really a strong memory with.
Mm.
Also because I remember my grandpa, was a very strong man and big man, and I remember him telling the story of being bitten by a dog, so I always was afraid of that might happen to me, and thinking of like, whoa, my grandpa is so big and huge and he got bitten by a dog, what could happen to me that I'm so tiny? So there was this element of fear, and And I remember something similar also with other kids. I remember having a cousin, again, bigger than me, just 1 year older, but physically bigger. And he used to do martial arts. And he knew all these tricks, you know, like to grab you with two fingers and cause so much pain. And I remember how unempowering was that, because I really wanted to be physical with him and to engage with my strength, but then he would do a little leverage and I would be like, okay, I cannot do anything in this position. And I would get frustrated with that. So that maybe is also something that brought me to including or to exclude from the play fight that I offer the submissions. So I don't want people to cause a pain and then having the other one tapping and then you get your point or you win. I want that the element of physical domination, it's physical, it's full bodied, not just coming from a little leverage. And what I noticed is that in the moment that I exclude that, the interaction is much more deep, much more physical, much more direct. There is much more body contact. You don't go for like, oh, how can I tweak you? No, I need to use my whole body weight, my whole body strength in order to dominate you. And this unleashes way more stuff, you know, like in the moment that I'm using my full power on you and I'm on top of you and I'm pinning you down, different patterns emerge and some are very unpleasant patterns. That's why it's really important that play fight is not underestimated. Because as adults, exactly as you said, we haven't been trained to do that in a healthy way. So immediately pictures of abuse, harassment, they rise, especially in those that observe, actually, because the play fighter might have the time of her life, but if you observe that happening, and again, like cliche, but especially if you see a man and a woman, those images are immediately rising. And it's good that they rise because we want to be sure that that doesn't happen. But then I don't want to project my image on what is happening. That's why as a facilitator, anytime that there is somebody that feels like, uh-oh, what's going on? I can just pause and say, what is alive in you? And ask. And if they said, like, oh, this is an abuse, I wait. Before accusing, let's ask them, what are you experiencing right now? And of course, first we ask the one that maybe feels more in the victim role. But it never happened ever that something was left untackled. And that's the beauty of it, that it needs to be extremely safe. So that anybody, even people that had sex abuses in the past, can feel empowered enough to experience a dynamic that physically could remind that in a way that can really be making them feel I can trust again an involvement with strength that would not lead to me getting hurt. And it's delicate. It's really important to understand that this is really delicate, cannot be underestimated.
And it has to primarily, fundamentally be and feel safe for that to even be accessed, for it to be voiced and held in a way that feels like just safe really. And that's really transformational spaces are. I
Exactly.
think what's best going to serve this conversation is going through the framework, which is simple, but there's so many threads to all the like points, and we could go off on many tangents as we dive into them. But I think if we could get from you the context and the framework of play fight, so people have a real like understanding, because it's so powerful, because it is simple, but it's, and I'm sure there's been many iterations over the years. And I don't know if you plan to add more things in or take things away. I'm sure it's a process. But yeah, if you could just go through the play fight structure.
Sure, with pleasure. So I was telling you the story of how it began and how this moment where he pulled him up, the hands shaped itself themselves in the way that then it became the way, like it became a ritual. And the act of having somebody from the outside share from their personal perspective what of what they saw impact them, that also became part important part of the play fight. And all of those, I really call them rituals, because ritual is a set of action, a little set of actions that repeat themselves. They remain the same and they have a meaning connected to that. That's also one of the things that I notice. Sometimes I see people that offer play fight around and they use the same gesture. They use the same ways of putting the hands together, bumping the fists and saying play fight, or maybe holding the hand in that way. But those are gestures. They are not rituals. The rituals become a ritual, or a gesture become a ritual when there is a meaning to that. And the meaning ideally is something that makes you feel something, makes you go through something. That's like in the way, like the ritual can also become a rite of passage, like a big ritual and a transition. But in our case, it's a small one. And so for me, those rituals, those steps, this framework, it's really designed to do things in a very mindful way. So the very first ritual is the invitation. Because it's really important that if I choose to play fight, I do it mindfully. I have my time and I feel safe, exactly as you said. And feeling safe, it means that I can say no, and that no is respected as such. There's not even a slight push to transform that no into a yes. And if I say something which holds a no, ideally, the facilitator supports you to speak that no. And how does that sound? If somebody comes in the middle of the circle and says, hey, Chris, I would like to play fight with you. Do you accept? You answer, okay, this is not a yes. Or better, it's not a full yes. There is an element of yes, but there is also an element of no, which is wrapped around. So lifting the shoulders, it's like, okay, let's go beyond that no, because I have a no. The no is here, but I go beyond it. And why would you go beyond it in a way that is unexpressed? Speak that no. And maybe it's about like, I have a yes because I would love to play fight with you. I'm really interested to do it. And I have a no because I'm actually feeling very full in my stomach. I eat way too much. Simple as that. And then the facilitator or yourself, once you feel empowered to actually speak your no's, you can say, okay, what would you like to do, something, a certain quality that would help you to have a full yes? And maybe you would just say, actually, I give it a try and then I see how it feels. Because I am assuming that it will feel not that good, but maybe it will feel okay. And funny enough, actually, play fight puts you in a state, in a physical state, where your reptile brain takes over, or let's say has more space. And one of the things that happens is that when you enter in a fight position, your body knows that it needs to be ready for that. So the blood needs to be in the muscles, not in the digestive system. So what happens is that it somehow, like, you start burping, you make a couple of burps, and voila, whatever you had in the stomach sometimes is gone, because the body knows that, okay, the blood cannot stay fully concentrated in the stomach. I need it to perform. I need it to move. I need to defend an attack and all of that. And it's magic how these things work. Or in the moment I sit there ready to play fight, oh, I need to pee. That's, again, very part of our animal. Discharge anything that would give you weight and it would not serve in that moment. You see, like, there is so much intelligence in the body if we just listen it, if we just, like, are curious about it. Anyway, coming back to the rituals. So that's the invitation.
Yeah.
And I can make either an open invitation to anybody or a direct, like in this case, the example that it did. And then once I have the two play fighters that has a yes, I enter in the second ritual, which is the encounter. And this is when the two play fighters are sitting in the middle, that are watching each other in the eyes. They're also feeling what they're feeling in that moment. And only in the moment that they feel ready to start, what they do is they close their fists on top of their thighs. Now, I cannot really show it here in the video, but it's a gesture of I'm ready and I'm relaxed and I'm waiting for you. Because at the beginning, as you said, the things keep evolving. So we notice things that don't work and we adjust them. At the beginning, we used to wait in this way while the other one was still connecting. And that felt, I'm creating a pressure on you to be ready when I'm ready. Yeah. That doesn't work. Everybody takes their own time, which usually is not that long. It could be like 3-10 seconds, but those are important because something is moving inside of me when I'm so close to you, and I know that I'm actually engaging very soon in a physical conflict, yet mindful, but still we are trying to dominate each other. So having that space, the other one says he's ready, but no pressure. Then when I'm also ready, we bump our fists, and we bump both fists. So there's not just one, because the two most important essence of play fight are connection and safety. And each hand represents a seal. So imagine this, if this is your hand, we bump, and this is a seal, an agreement for a safety to say, I'm keeping myself, my fist is myself. I keep myself safe, and I commit to do my best to keep myself safe the whole time and to keep you safe. That means that intentionally, I would not do, of course, any harm, but also unintentionally, I make sure that I don't put any, my bone on top of your chest or something that can actually harm you. So I pay attention to these things. And that's the first agreement. And the agreement for the connection is I take commitment. I really am committed to stay connected with myself, because at some point, some emotions might move, and I do not want to ignore them. I want to feel them. Or I might feel that at some point, an old injury start to very important to be connected with that injury, not to ignore it. That also is connected then with the safety. Mm-hmm. And also to connect with you. And sometimes, especially children, sometimes it's hard to understand, okay, but what do you mean connect? The word that for me works the best is curiosity. Simply having curiosity towards the other. Who is the other? Not every time, how do I pin the other one down? How do I get the other one or myself in a different position? But who is the other? And who am I? What am I feeling? In the moment that there is curiosity, connection start to establish. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. So simple, so powerful, also in daily life. Then after 5 minutes, usually the encounter is over and we enter in the appreciation, where people give each other hand in that way. That was like the first time. And they share one appreciation for the other, about the other. Ideally, really with the formula of Chris, so saying the name of the other, Chris, I appreciate you because, or I appreciate you that, appreciate that you brought your full power. And at the same time, appreciate when you were looking me in the eyes, or I appreciate that you asked for a pause and you asked for what you needed. Anything that is truthfully, I appreciate having that play fight with you.
Yeah, so this is after the play fight.
After the play fight, yes, after the encounter, after the moment of the play fight. And then lastly, there is the fourth ritual, which is called feedback or impact. And it's about how the circle, what the circle lived. And this is one of the places where often in normal society, when I offer a circle in a city, there are quite some challenges, because people are very used to speak in the you form or in the we form, or to discuss or describe or judge. And here is exactly the opposite.
It's mainly
about
judge.
Sharing.
Mainly judges.
But also analyzing. I actually find more common to analyze. It's like, you're moving that way. And then, but this is, it's not sport, you know? It's about sharing. Because the whole idea is that if I am present with what is happening there, if I am present with the play fight of these people, something moves inside. Mm-hmm. And if I have the courage to speak that and show myself vulnerable, I establish connection first with myself and then with the rest of the people. It's like, hey, this was me while that was happening. This was my fear. This was my feeling like tight when I saw that move happening. Or this was my joy and wanting to join in when I saw you so playful. Or the opposite. This was my boredom where I saw you for 5 minutes always playing monkeys.
Yeah. Communicating your truth. I think that's the biggest aspect of this. It has been for me. It's like getting people to, just allowing people to speak what's true for them and understanding that their lens is different to everyone else's, and just honoring that can be so powerful for people.
Yeah. And again, in this phase, which is so delicate, especially when, imagine the play fight was not an easy one. No, sometimes it comes a play fight which is dense and the people have really hard time to connect. And the facilitators paused a few times and supported a bit, and there was an evolution, but still it didn't arrive until the end where, like, wow, now we are the best friends. No, maybe it's still dense. And in that moment, the play fighter are there in the middle, sitting back to back. Again, another gesture, because I've been fighting against you and now I am lying on you, but I'm still holding my weight, but I have you on my back and I'm surrounded by the rest of the circle. But there is really important that what is being shared is owned by the people that are sharing and not that is something that speaks or accuse or judge the play fighter, because in that moment, the play fighter might be already in a very sensitive place. Mm-hmm. And if a judgment comes, that can be destructive. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important as a facilitator to be trained to smell and recognize a judgment in the very first words that comes and say, pause. I invite you to check if this is something that you're speaking about yourself or you're speaking about them. Because, for example, a very common way, this is a wonderful tool for daily life. Whenever you hear someone, and especially yourself, saying, I feel that you, that's a wonderful way to cover judgment in something like, I feel, therefore it's a feeling that, no, it's not a feeling, it's a judgment. If you feel that something else, that's a pure judgment covered by a nice coating of cold feeling. No, that's rather be honest, like, I judge that you, okay, thank you. At least you're honest with that. I admire that. But if you want to speak about feelings, speak about feelings. I feel fear because, I feel sad because, I feel joy because, I feel angry because, but speak about a feeling, not feel that you. That's an interpretation. So if as a facilitator, I hear, I feel that, I pause. I don't even want to know what you feel that. Speak me about the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes can even feel abrupt, but if it's a sensitive play fight, if it's been a light play fight, mostly probably the judgment will come is a positive judgment. I feel that you were so connected with yourself. Well, that's an interpretation. It's a nice interpretation and people can take it well. But if it was a difficult one,
mm-hmm.
very sensitive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it so much. It's just such a recipe for connection, ultimately, with yourself and with creating an experience with people. So you've got the gestures, the rituals, and then the words that you use. There's like some key words. You've mentioned pause. Those like more invitations to connect.
To take responsibility.
And take responsibility, yeah. Could you speak about those?
Yeah, those we call them the safe words, and we use five of them. And they are really an invitation for people to understand that it doesn't matter if there is a facilitator there which is dedicated to them. It doesn't matter if they are mats. It doesn't matter if the space is well held. It doesn't matter if there is a nice circle and everybody is committed to them. The ultimate responsibility is with myself. And I am the only one that will feel emotional, moved, and I can take responsibility and ask for that, or that I feel like injury and I need to enact upon it. You know, I saw probably thousands of play fights and I still don't know if a person has a pain in that very moment that they have it. I can assume it. I can see the face, the expression. I'm very sensitive to that, but still the responsibility must be in the people. And to support them, we offer these five safe words, which out of the five, the most important is only one, is stop. Doesn't matter if I forget all the five, but as long as I remember stop, then I feel okay. I can say stop. If people can say stop, then we can check after what's going on. So stop is whenever something is not really working well, doesn't feel that good, just say stop. And everything freezes there and we assess what's going on. What can I do? What, you know, like without shame, saying stop is so important. And when instead is something which is not so urgent, but still I want to adjust something, then there is the second, which is pause. And people sometimes have a hard time to understand, but what's the difference between pause and stop? They do the same thing, like the action stops. Like, yes, but the energy is different. And it's important to have this distinction because, again, in daily life, if I say stop with that very urgent, emergency-like energy, when something doesn't have that need, then I create in the person that receives those stops a shrinking. I was like, oh my gosh, every time I stopped in my flow, when stop should happen when there is a need of stop.
Yeah.
The rest can be a, hey, pause a second. I need la, 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 la. There is a different quality, a different energy. That's why we have this distinction.
Like the panic
to be
button.
Sure that when, exactly. To be sure that when there is something wrong, there is a word for something wrong and everybody's alert on that.
Mm-hmm.
To not create false alarms, because we don't need that. We have enough stimuli and false alarms around us.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is neck. Neck is such a delicate part and we want to be sure that nobody grabs it, especially because sometimes there are people who do martial arts and they used to actually do neck grabs. So we have that word. But in the moment that people are a bit more used to play fight, usually neck is not spoken anymore because nobody touches the neck.
Mm.
Then there is space. If people are if people from the circle see that the play fighter comes too close and therefore they are also feeling in danger, they first of all create a physical opposition. They protect themselves and then they say space to be sure that the play fighter don't go too close. And lastly, the word connection. And connection is also a safe word because in the moment that I'm connected with myself, I take care of myself and my limits. In the moment I'm connected with the other, I'm sure that I actually don't hurt them. So in the moment that anybody, play fighters or circle or facilitators, feels that there is a little bit of lack of connection, anybody can say the word connection. And it's an invitation for the play fighter to remember what's the purpose of play fight, to connect. They don't need to stop what they're doing. They're just invited to assess, am I connected? Yes. Okay. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the five safe words.
Yeah. Briefly, I think one of the also most powerful things is speaking to your needs, what you need in the moment and getting those met, or maybe not, but like just speaking to those. I think as humans, we always need to exercise that. Can I communicate my needs effectively? And it's asking for limitations. Where did that come in? Was that always a thing from the beginning? Or did you notice like power and people's always having different advantages or disadvantages, whether it's men or women, bigger, smaller, and the very fact that you can ask for a limitation in this arena?
Yeah. I don't remember exactly what was the day that I introduced that, but it was certainly coming from a place where somebody felt unempowered to be either less physically powerful than the other one, or the other way around. It can also be that somebody more powerful feels like, oh, I would like to engage more, but I don't always need to restrain myself and I'm afraid to hurt the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So what we use in play fight is called limiting factor. So everybody can say, okay, I want to apply a limiting factor to myself, blocking my arm or not using my legs or not holding and keeping my hands closed or keeping my eyes closed. There are tons of possibilities and every possibility needs to fine tune with the need, because sometimes it could be not a matter of physical limitation. It could be, I want to enhance my playfulness. And therefore I can say I play fight holding my ears. And things become very funny in the moment that I'm having this arm always up, you know? Or maybe I want to enhance connection. So we are going to have a play fight where the whole time we need to touch each other's hand. And not hold, but touch. So more nuanced, more difficult.
Mm.
Or looking each other's in the eyes during the whole time. There are tons of ways to add a little element, a little twist that bring the things more balanced. And in play fight, we don't search for balance as a default. We search for satisfaction. We search for fulfillment. So if somebody wants to have this balance because need says like, I really want to face somebody three times stronger than me because I want to look at my capacity of being determined even in a condition which is not favorable for me, we create that. We can even have 2 versus 1. We can have 3 versus 1. Everything is possible in play fight because, maybe the word of constellation is more known. We use elements of constellation in play fight in the sense of like adjusting the constellation of the play fighters to what the people need. And this especially we do in the more therapeutic form of play fight called intentional play fight.
Mm-hmm.
This is when somebody brings an intention. I want to work on that topic of my life. I want to work on that relationship. I want to work on that specific thing. Then we create a setting where play fight becomes the catalyst.
Yeah.
Where the person can live first that difficulty as they are, as in life, but in an embodied way. and then become aware of it and transform it.
Yeah.
It's extremely fun work and powerful work.
Yeah. There's so many directions you could take it as well. It's such a creative, exploratory, like, space where so much is possible, as you said. I love it, brother. Because when I was just as Benji and Ben, just in that same space, what was it, last April, May, when it came in, I was like, oh, this is it. This is like such a beautiful framework that there's just so much in it. And I was just so connected to it. And I'd like to ask, where do you see it going? Like, what is your vision for it? Because yeah, it's impacting people. People are really drawn to it. It's a remembering as well of what we've left behind in a way. And it's a revisiting of that nature that we all have. And I feel like when you get humans curious, when you access that curiosity within people and they have a structure to feel safe within, so much happens and it's transformational, as you say. But what's the vision for it? Like, where do you see it taking?
Well, I have many visions.
Hey, part two.
So the biggest vision I have is that at some point, PlayFight becomes common language. Just as is cuddling, just as is talking, just as is having a walk together. If I want to connect with you, I can say, let's have a PlayFight.
Yeah.
It's so democratized everywhere. You can see children play fighting there. There's nobody saying, stop, you shouldn't do that. But like, awesome, let's do it together.
Yeah.
That's my highest vision. And it might take years and decades to arrive there. And the steps to arrive there is, first of all, to also see how in each city in the world, there will be a circle, like a very well-held circle by a PlayFight facilitator that can provide that quality of safety and container for transformation to happen. On, let's say, on a lighter form, like that anybody that don't need for therapy, but I can go there and process maybe some struggles that I have accumulated during the day, during my work day, and I go to a play fight and I feel better.
Yeah.
Or I feel more aware of myself. This on one side. So like the upper level, like everybody do it, no need of any facilitator because it's integrated in the society. Then before, like we have it in each city and the facilitator supports. And even before, now that we can create really therapeutic grade spaces and integrate play fight as a form of therapy, and we are working really committedly to that. That's why after get trained as a facilitator, can go deeper and get trained as a coach. And coaches are really those that create those spaces which are so sensitive, where somebody can bring practically any topic. Because at the end, any topic that you have, any struggle that you have, at the core, there is a conflict. So what we do is to go and discover what is their core conflict, and how can we embody it, and how can we learn from that embodiment. Simple as that, but of course, much more complex than what it is in order to really offer that space.
Beautiful, man. Right. I know you have another meeting, so I appreciate you coming on. I'd like to see the play fight being taken into like world leaders getting into the play fight arena, discussing their stuff in the arena. Yeah, man. All right, bro. Appreciate your time, man. And I'll put everything in the links and people can find you and get involved. Let us know when you're in the UK and I'll put that out there to the peeps listening. And yeah, man. Where's the best place
people can
find you? Is it playfight.org?
Yeah, playfight.org is our website. And my invitation, if people got touched by what I said, and especially if you're interested in holding space for others, then I highly recommend you to have a look at playfight.org/academy, because this is where we really train and we design a program, a year program, to train people from the beginning to the end to arrive to a place where you really know how to hold a space. And eventually one can use PlayFight, but also other things. But if you learn it with PlayFight, if you learn it with something which is so edgy as PlayFight, can really hold space for tons of other things in such a quality way that I really would recommend anybody looking at.
Yeah, beautiful, man. Thank you for coming on and speaking to it. I talk about it everywhere I go. So if everyone's doing that, it's not going to take time to bring this into every space possible.
Yes, let's do that.
Thanks for listening, people. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel. This is the best zero cost way to support. If this podcast is providing you value, please get further involved by donating as little as £3 a month over at my Patreon. If you do this, you will get free bonus content, invited into a private WhatsApp group, and jump on monthly calls to dive in to topics covered in recent episodes. Of course, only if you want to. In addition, please subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening and leave a 5-star review. This helps the podcast tremendously. Or send it to a friend or someone you know will benefit from this episode. If you have any other questions, comments, or people you'd love me to get on an interview, or even topics you want me to cover, please say so in the comment section over at the YouTube channel, link in the description. Please check out the sponsors I mentioned at the beginning, two brands who I wholeheartedly support, Wild Soul Sandals and XL Coffee. For discount codes, links are in the description. There is also a link in the description where you can subscribe to my monthly newsletter, where I share musings and info about events and discounts. If you want to share any episodes, please do so over at Instagram. Tag me in your stories, the.chris.geisler. Thank you for your interest in conversations to help us all remember ways that once served us and redirect us back into connection with ourselves and the places we go.